All right, turn with me to Ephesians 1:11 if you have your Bibles with you. We're on the 11th verse, and the later this month, I am going now. Debbie's going tomorrow with Jamie, and they're traveling across to Washington. And next Monday, I'm going to Seattle to visit my mother. Now, she's in a senior's home because she is phasing in and out of dementia. Some days she's really in dementia, and other days she's really very clear. But she had a stroke a few months back, and it kind of wiped her out, and she's slowly failing physically. And, you know, my father died in 1999, so she's been alone on a beautiful piece of property, living in her small house, and it's kind of getting dilapidated, I think, a little bit, but it sits up on a bluff over this hill overlooking a 180-degree view of Puget Sound. So it's just absolutely, when I go there, I just can't believe it, and I guarantee you I'm going to go there and just stand out there in the yard because it's just in, you know, it's sad because she didn't want to leave her house, and she wanted to stay in it, and we even knew it was past the time for her to do it, for taking care of herself, and sure enough, she fell. I think she might have had a stroke, and finally somebody showed up at the house and took her in, and now she doesn't even remember the house. You know, and I think, oh man, you know, and I, as we deal with these kind of life issues, it's kind of frustrating as well as sad for all of us who've been in these similar circumstances with either a death in the family or a pending illness that will eventually go to death. Because there is gobs of stuff to figure out, the house and all of its contents, the bank, the bills, the mortgage, the power of attorney, the Social Security and Medicare. And when I say that, it may seem like a long list unless you've been there. And I know I haven't hit that. You have been there. I haven't even hit the list. You know, and I look at that and I have no idea whether my mother will be alive in a few months or a few years. The diagnosis they gave said it might be 6 months. And so when she passes from this earth, there might or might not be an earthly inheritance left to the kids. Now, all of us kids are older. My younger sister is 59, and so we've all come to the place we realize that an inheritance on the earth really doesn't produce very much at all. You know, isn't it true? Because my mother is my inheritance, and my siblings are my inheritance, not the cash or couches or shovels or hoes that might be distributed. That's the sum worth of our inheritance on earth, though, isn't it? That when we get through, we've got hoes and rakes and a little cash and stuff. You know, and I really had to look at that this year because it's not eternal. There's nothing about it that's eternal. This produces, I think, in us, because it isn't, a desperate need that we don't have. And so we foolishly assume that this earthly inheritance, like my mom's, may just do the trick for us. And even when I'm telling you that and you're going, yeah, I totally agree with you, Steve. It's your mom and dad and it's your kids and, you know, this kind of thing. You're thinking, yeah, but a little cash wouldn't hurt. You know what I'm saying? But you know what God gives us? Is an eternal inheritance, a life-changing inheritance because it's eternal. He fills the emptiness that we feel, that we think maybe that cash or maybe whatever it may be will help here on planet Earth. And I thought to myself, well, what is the real longing that we have here? And I think it's feeling some kind of hope, some kind of security in this life, isn't it? We want that sense of security, and the problem is the inheritance, the money, all that kind of stuff can never provide it because you need $1 more than what you've got. Because anyone here knows with your track record that how in the world could we find security in God except that Ephesians 1 has already told us over and over, hasn't it? Every verse that we've gone on to is security, 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 security in our life. And in chapter 1, he has established that security with you and I. And so we understand and come to know that he deeply loves us and cherishes us. That we are desirable and worth it to him. And I hope I can get that through tonight. That God is delivering it strongly, the security for you and I, so that we can live in him. And when things come about, like Emma was talking about, or I'm talking about, or the things that are going on in your life, you have that sense of security and inheritance in God that keeps us going all the way to the last breath. And then we enter eternity with God. Now, let's look at the seventh and eighth spiritual blessings in verse 11 and 12. But I just want to remind us quickly again that when we started out in 3 and 4, we have found that we were made holy. We were sanctified by God upon belief. And then also we also found in that same verse that we are no longer blamed for our sin, but he has acquitted us and we have no more blame for our sin. I mean, just stop and think about that. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We're not charged for our sin. Oh my gosh. For me, it really comes home when I'm in the middle of sin. Right? When you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing or something, you think, oh God, how can you do this? And yet he acquitted us. We're legally adopted into God's family. We're accepted by him just as we are. In fact, he even says we're highly favored. And we have been redeemed by his blood. We've been bought back by his blood. We have complete forgiveness of sins. And if you remember, it was all based on his grace. The richness of his grace. All this upon belief. And today, we are going to go into 7 and 8 with we are chosen by lot. And I'll make that real clear. I hope. And we are praiseworthy through his glory. Here's what God's teaching us tonight, verse 11. And I'm going to have to do a little explaining all the way through. So, and I actually put some of my notes up there so you could see it, because I've got quite a few things to say in this passage. In him also, and when he says also, I think he's going back and continuing to give us and talk to us about the spiritual blessings, okay? In him also we have obtained an inheritance. And it really means we have been chosen to a portion or a lot from God. Being really is having been, it's in the past, having been predestinated according to the purpose or the plan of him who works the all things. And we hit the all things before and we're hitting the all things again. And I think the all things are those spiritual blessings. According to the counsel of his will. Now, In earlier sermons, I've been telling you about his will, and he keeps using this thelema will. That's the Greek word for will, meaning a desirous will. Like all, he wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He desires that, but it may or may not happen. And so, but when we get to the counsel of his will, the counsel there is a word in the Greek called boule, and it means it's unpenetratable, unbendable. It is what it is. It is God's unturnaround will. And so he says, predestined, all that our inheritance is predestined according to the purpose or the plan of him who works the all according to the unbendable will or plan or decision of his desire, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, what in the world does God mean by that when we look at it? We obtained an inheritance, or we are chosen to a lot or portion. Well, first, when you read it, it seems simple, right? We get God's riches, and we get, and we get, and we get all this inheritance. But it doesn't exactly work in the passage. So let me give you a literal translation. I just decided to translate it myself so it would make it a little bit easier, because I looked at a bunch of other translations and they kind of tried to follow the old King James to the new King James and kept it somewhat confused, okay? In whom also, and I know that the old one said in him also, it's in whom also we were chosen, okay? A portion, somehow a portion, being predestinated according to the plan of him who operates the all things according to his unalterable decision of his desired will. For us to be praised on, okay? I mean, we're going to receive praise, that's what God says. To be praised on, I didn't know how else to say it. To be praised on because of his glory, the ones who hoped beforehand in Christ. Okay, so when it says who first trusted in Christ, it doesn't mean the ones back in the Acts period. It means that all of us who have trusted in Christ by faith without seeing him. Okay. Now, I want to really concentrate tonight on and look at this phrase, we were chosen to obtain an inheritance, because it's all one word. And that's why so many people have a problem. And the one word means chosen, but it's not chosen like I pick you. Or it doesn't mean chosen like in verse 4 when he said for the foundation he chose us in him that we would be holy and blameless. It's not that one either. It's only used here. I think that's called a hopalagomena, isn't it? When it's only used once. Some of you guys should know. Okay. And so it means to be chosen to a lot or to a portion of something. This, and like I say, this word is only used here, so we have to go to the Old Testament, to the Greek version of the Old Testament, so we can see how the original language was used, okay? Now, I can't use the Hebrew because the New Testament is all Greek, okay? Or it's Greek to most of you, right? Okay, all right. And so I don't want to bore you, but I think that you're going to find this study a little bit unique. I hope it is. Okay, so let's. I'm going to just go to 1 Samuel. It'll be up here. I want to give you just kind of what's happening. There's a battle going on with the Philistines in Israel, and Israel is starting to lose the battle. So King Saul commands his army to fast, to refrain from food. Now, King Saul made a lot of mistakes, and this was one of them. That is, now that they're out there whipping the swords and everything, you can't eat any food. You just have to fast until the battle's over. And so these guys are totally faint. They're losing. Jonathan, his son, he doesn't hear his father's command because he jumped out ahead of time and went down and started hammering on the Philistines before the even army did it. And so he's down there whacking away, and he's walking through kind of a tree area, and he sees some honey, so he dips his hand in and has some honey, kind of restores his energy, and he goes after it, and he keeps doing it. And for a while they were winning, but as the battle starts to go down, Saul begins to do what's called casting lots in the Old Testament. And usually the priest did it, and I have no idea what it is, okay? It's maybe like rolling dice or picking, you know, when you say casting lots, it's like you think, well, maybe there's a bunch of sticks, and if you get the short one, you have to lead the charge or something like that. Well, this, somehow in the Old Testament, when they would cast lots, God would be in it, and they would be able to pick out certain things. So, in our word's going to come into this real big. And so, I want to get to the 41st verse of 1 Samuel, and it says, therefore, Saul said to the Lord God of Israel, give me a perfect lot, okay, in casting lots. Give me a perfect choice, okay? So Saul and Jonathan were taken. They were chosen. Now, when I put there, I put the underline because all those underlined words are our same word for chosen in Ephesians 1:11. Everybody following me so far? Okay. So Saul and Jonathan were chosen, but the people escaped, meaning they weren't chosen. And Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken, he was chosen. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. Okay, so what we see here, and I know you now you want the answer to that, right? Okay, and so Saul was going to kill his son, and all the people stood up in rebellion and said, "You're not going to kill him because he's the only thing that's been saving us in this battle." And so Jonathan lives for a while. But this was a process of choosing the right person by God out of thousands of people. And to this day, I don't know how they did it. Whatever they did, it worked, okay? So Numbers 18:20. I just want to give you a couple more. Then the Lord said to Aaron, meaning Aaron the priest, Moses' brother, "You shall have no inheritance, no chosen lot or portion in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel." So what God is saying, Aaron, I am not going to give you land. You can't have an inheritance or portion there. I am your portion. Me the Father, me the Son, me the Holy Spirit. You, that's your portion. Wouldn't that be cool to be Aaron and hear that? Realize, okay, God's my portion. Oh my goodness. All right. But here's one that I think has a lot to do with the message today. Deuteronomy 32:9. "For the Lord's portion," the Lord's chosen portion, "is his people. Jacob is the place of his chosen inheritance." And so what he's saying is the people of Israel were God's portion, where they were his chosen, his inheritance. And Jacob, meaning, and I think what he's meaning is Israel, is the place of his inheritance. And today we learn that all the people of the world, both Jew and Gentile, we're going to get in chapter 2 of Ephesians, that's going to come crystal clear, and not just Israel, we're all God's people. And we are his inheritance and he is our inheritance. When Paul says we were appointed a portion, or we were chosen a portion, it is not like my mom's inheritance, if there is one, left to the kids. It's not that God has only given us a piece of heaven, because we can look through the scriptures and we can find things, you know, everything from the mansions to whatever. We know there's something. But he leaves it a secret on purpose. Okay, but listen to me on this, because this is what I think the scripture is saying to us. It's literally that we are his chosen inheritance. We are his inheritance. Are you following me? We are the prize. Do you feel like a prize? Isn't that funny? We have attained a portion of Christ, and our inheritance is Christ. But we are chosen by lot. We are chosen as a portion. We were made God's portion. We have been taken by God as his own inheritance, because God loves people. He doesn't love rakes and hoes, right? That's not his deal. He didn't care about a little more cash. He is our reward, and yet we are his inheritance, his goal, his desire, his people. And I'm just saying, if you have the ears to hear it, and the reason I'm saying that is you'll understand what I'm saying, but if it really sinks down to the heart, it'll change your life. That we are his prize. His plan before the foundation of the world, he purposed that he would have a people that was his. It was his unbendable plan. He wasn't going to change that plan out of his desired wills to have an inheritance in us that we would be praised on, not only inherited, not only his prize, but we would be praised on as a result of his glory. And you may think, well, what do you mean? Well, I think it's that when we get to heaven, folks, we did some things right. right? Besides all the wrong things we did some right things. And God's going to go, man, that's Steve. Man, that Kelly. Man, that Jim. Man, that Don. What great guys they were. They just stood in there and they kept the faith, and it was hard on them. Because I don't think we realize how hard life is on us. We think we'll moan, right? Oh, what a week. But when we get down to it, God's going to go, man, you survived that week. Now let me reaffirm this with a statement that he makes a few verses later in Ephesians, and I'm just going to give this and kind of close out. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that, and then he skipped the whole verse of 17 because he has some other things. I just want to get right down to it. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now, isn't that interesting how God says that? That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. In other words, he really wants us to get this, folks, okay? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, what do you think the hope of his calling is? Huh? Well, he explains it. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? It's just what we were talking about in verse 11. That the hope of his calling is you. The hope of his calling is me. So here's today's application and a question. Are your eyes enlightened enough today? Did you understand your true worth in God? That you are worthy in God? And that not only that, but you will be praiseworthy. That you are the riches of his desire. Do you see that picture? Listen, let me, in ending, let me just maybe explain this. Tomorrow is Father's Day. And we're going to have a barbecue over at the house. And my children will be there. Stevie and Becky and Corey and Katie and Annie. Jamie and Brett and Brooke and Brenna and Brecken, David and Emma and Violet, John and Lindsay and Buddy and Adele and Anya, all will be there for that barbecue. And they're doing the barbecue, but July 3rd is my birthday and I'm not going to be here, so they're going to celebrate that tomorrow. My inheritance, it's right there. My inheritance is not my mom's stuff. Or my uncle, somebody I don't even know. My kids are my inheritance. My grandkids are my inheritance. I hope to live long enough to have a great-grandkid. That would be my inheritance, and they delight me. The scripture says that your children delight are a delight, and we sometimes think they're such a burden and that kind of thing, and then they go away and you're bored to death. Isn't that true? And you think, oh man, they were kind of neat. And then when the grandkids come, it says the glory of the Father is his children's children. And every one of us that have a grandkid totally get that. Amen, guys? You know, I love it when these little ones wrap their arms around my knees and they go, I love you, Papa. Thank you for being my Papa. I mean, do you get that? What does cash say to you? Yeah. What does a piece of ground say to you? I remember years ago, I had a guy, I was on having my fourth child. I was working at an envelope company, and everybody was mad at me because in those days, if you had more than two kids, it was kind of wrong. You know, I don't know if you ever experienced that, because I had my first and second one. They came out and congratulated me. When I had my third one, they didn't come out at all. And when I had my fourth, some of the people at the company wouldn't speak to me. Yeah, I'm serious. They wouldn't speak to me because I had four. And so this guy says, Steve, I don't know why you're doing this. He said, man, you could be having Trans-Ams and all this quite a few years ago, Trans-Ams and this kind of thing. And I said, you know what? A Trans-Am is not going to crawl up the steps of a hospital and come into your hospital room and give you a kiss. Right? He quit asking me about that. Everything in life pales to a statement like, thank you for being my papa. I am their heritage and they are mine. And God feels the same way. He looks down, guys, and I'm telling you, I don't know if this will get through, but he looks down and he goes, man, I love him so much. I just love her so much. And we keep thinking, man, does God even care? Man, he loves us. Let me just read this out of the end of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the question tonight is, do we really know the love of God? Because if we say God doesn't love us, we are a liar, according to that. Amen? He loves us. Let's quit hanging on to all the negative that we have in our life, and let's grab a hold of this deep breadth and width and length and of his love. Because he wants you and me to comprehend his love. Father, we just come.